between Bowen and Collinsville here in central Queensland, which is about 300 kilometres away from the proposed mine site, but reasonably close to Adani-owned Abbott Point coal port there.
Yeah, and how are you feeling about the election results?
Really, really disappointed. But also, I guess I'm quite an optimist, and we're not going to be cranking down the gears anytime soon or, like, relying on the fact that we might have a Labor government to help us fix these things. So, you know, it's pretty evident that our political system has failed us again, and that's why we are here on the front lines getting ready to stop this mine, because we were probably going to have to do that one way or the other.
Hayley, tell us a little bit of your own story. How and why did you get involved?
I used to be a chef in the Sunshine Coast when about 5 years ago Greg Hunt, the Environment Minister at the time, declared that they were going to dredge up the Great Barrier Reef and dump that dredge spoil all over the reef. And I had been feeling pretty useless for a long time in terms of, like, what I could do to actually make change. And, you know, I was having conversations and I was attending rallies and things. But I think for me, it was really the catalyst to wake up and realise that even though we have ministers in charge of the environment and, you know, government bodies that are supposed to be protecting and conserving, looking after our environment, they're not doing that at all. In fact, they're doing the complete opposite, you know, with what we've just seen, Melissa Price passing the groundwater, you know, the groundwater plan for Adani recently. We can just see that actually everything's set up to be selling our environment out. It doesn't matter whether they say they're protecting it or not.
Yeah, and you, I know, came from not a coal mining background, but a coal mining area yourself. So how is it now being up there in the heart of coal mining country? We just saw the Stop Adani convoy go pretty close to where you are. And, and the media, that the mainstream media implied that it was all very conflictual. How was it for you up there?
I think that the mainstream media really talked it up. In actual fact, there were only three businesses in Claremont which refused to serve us, and there were businesses there who wanted us to support their town. So definitely the mainstream media talks that up a lot. Yeah, as you mentioned, I grew up in Latrobe Valley down in Victoria, which is a huge coal-fired power hub for the country. And I think that actually, I find that I can completely relate to communities up here. And a lot of the problem that we see right here, right now, is that, our so-called leaders aren't actually being realistic or giving people other options. So, you know, I think a large part contributing to what's happened this election is that, you know, all of the propaganda, the newspapers, the rhetoric is all around coal jobs. This is what our community is. This is what we have. This is it, you know. And people aren't really seeing other alternatives. And so without other alternatives, they're relying on that. And they, you know, they are desperate for that. But there are real alternatives out there.
I've seen online videos of some of your flak actions, chaining yourselves to coal trains, for example. Potentially scary things. Tell us a bit more about what you have done and how you keep yourself safe.
Everything we do, we have, like, a big commitment to safety. We don't actually ever, you know, jump on a coal train or get in the way of it unless we know that coal train's already stopped. And so even though some of these things might look really scary, and they are, you know, it's challenging, and the people who are stepping up to take action are really brave. They're a lot safer than, you know, a lot of people would make out.
I thought that was a noise from your end, but it was from our end.
No. Okay.
It sounded like a coal train arriving.
I did, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, good. That's good to hear. And lots of work, I'm sure, that goes into building trust amongst each other for taking on any of those actions.
Definitely. And for every one person that puts their body on the line, it takes about another 9 people in support roles to help them, you know, with media and making coffee and, you know, caring and supporting for each other. So, yeah, it is actually a really beautiful, inclusive community. And some of our actions may appear to be pretty scary. We also do a lot of other, you know, fun stuff, and we're family friendly, and we have a lot of, like, older people coming up as well. And, yeah, it's actually a beautiful community to be a part of.
People dropping in, these famous grey nomads or green nomads.
Yep. Yeah, we definitely get that, and I think we'll be seeing more of that, you know, with the publicity from Bob Brown. And Grey Power is another great group around the country who are really using some of their time and their resources to challenge big fossil fuel, because they know, you know, what they leave to their children and their grandkids. It's really, that's their legacy.
And you yourself have a three-year-old, I think.
I do have a three-year-old son, yep.
Living with you up in the camp?
Yep. Yeah, he lives at the blockade camp with us, and, they say it takes a village to raise a child, and I'm very grateful that I have a village of amazing people who support me there.
Excellent. One of the goals of direct action is to make the world pay attention and take action, and that can be a challenge in Australia with such limited media outlets, but I think you've been doing okay on getting media coverage. Can you tell us about how that's going, maybe focusing on the good coverage?
We definitely have been getting more media coverage lately. We had a journalist from Triple J Hack come out recently and do a great piece on the camp and basically like camp life out there. And we've had some international journalists promote what we're doing outside to the rest of the world, because this is a global issue. You know, like Queensland may have determined how the election goes, but I think that Queensland will see more and more people from around the country coming up here to say, actually, Queensland does not get to choose for the rest of the country, and Queensland does not get to choose for the rest of the world. We cannot have new coal mines.
And how do you think you are going as far as impact of your actions? I hear that you're facing some court cases, as are the amazing Wangan and Jangalingu campaigners who are trying to protect their lands.
So Aurizon, who is one of the monopoly coal haulers in Queensland, is actually taking Farmer Action on Coal Incorporated to court to try and put an injunction on them, as well as five individuals who they're trying to sue for $75,000 each. And I think that it is testament to the fact that we are challenging them and we are, you know, making it difficult to continue on with business as usual, hauling coal at the expense of our climate. Yeah, I think we will see more and more that things get tougher in terms of laws, and we are seeing that. The police are putting bail conditions on people that they can't return to camp, you know, and other restrictions being put on people about who they can associate with and things like that. I think that it means that we're really succeeding in what we're doing.
Is it too soon to ask you how FLAC is looking forward after the election result? Are you making plans, or are you strategising that things that you could share with us? I don't want you to blow any secrets.
No, that's all right. No, I think looking forward, we are just looking to strengthen and support the movement around the country in any way we can. We are ready for Adani to start, and I honestly think that we have never been better placed to take this on if they begin starting construction. People around the country, after the election loss, you know, or like the way that it's gone, people are really determined to amp things up, you know, and if they begin construction this year, I think they're going to have a huge fight on their hands. Direct action is the last tool that we have left in our toolkit, and it really is the time for everybody to start stepping up, you know?